Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Today marks 3 years since Russia invaded Ukraine, and earlier today, Xi Jinping spoke by phone with Russian leader Vladimir Putin as Western countries look to plot their path forward. President Trump's urged Ukraine to agree to a deal to end the fighting. ABC's Ian Panel's in Ukraine and says there are key meetings taking place this week.
French President Macron meets with President Trump, and then the following day, the British Prime Minister Sir Keir Starmer also at the White House. These next few days could be critical in deciding what kind of deal, if any, is possible.
Confusion within the federal workforce continues over Elon Musk's weekend instruction that all employees reply to an email listing their accomplishments or face firing. But the heads of several agencies are telling their employees to hold off from responding. The Vatican expected to provide an update later on Pope Francis's health. The 88-year-old remains hospitalized in critical condition. And Apple is pledging $500 billion in U.S. investments in the next 4 years. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WISS News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anytime at the WISS website at WISS.FM. From local news to what's going on around the state, Civic Media's mission is to bring you real news and great conversation. For 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. Sunday was the final day in the 16-day-long sturgeon spearing season in the Lake Winnebago system. The Wisconsin DNR says 943 prehistoric fish were harvested this year. That doubled last year's harvest, even with poor water clarity issues. Harvest caps were not reached during the season. The 90 to 99% harvest trigger on the upriver lakes was hit, but that was late Sunday afternoon. The DNR adds that 63 fish weighing over 100 pounds were harvested this season. The Veterans Village of Tiny Homes proposed by Veterans First of Northeast Wisconsin faces yet another hurdle. The village that will provide tiny housing for veterans has approval from the City of Green Bay and Brown County to proceed at a location on St. Anthony Drive near the Green Bay VA Clinic on the former site of the Brown County Mental Health Center. Some opponents have concerns about the development being close to the county's Potter's Field Cemetery. Veterans First has agreed to pay for a ground survey to ensure that no one is buried on the property that they will develop. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is asking residents to donate to their Endangered Resources Fund through their state income tax forms. According to a press release, the agency will match all donations made through the tax forms, with all of the funding going towards conservation efforts for rare plants, animals, and natural areas across the state. They'll also help the agency combat the spread of invasive species like the emerald ash borer. The donations line can be found on Schedule 3, Part 1A of the income tax form. I'm Lisa Hale for 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News. For news anytime, visit WISS.FM.
The Bucks beat the Heat. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks were down by 10 at the half, but came back strong in the fourth quarter, defeating the Miami Heat 120-113. Giannis and Damian Lillard were limited, but that opened the door for players like Kyle Kuzma and Kevin Porter Jr., known as Kuz and Scoot. Doc Rivers:
I think Scoot scored a couple of times, then Kuz gets a rebound, breaks out, creates a basket, then Scoot goes back to it. Just gives us a lot of speed, and we try to make sure we have one roller, and I think it's a good fit.
The Bucks head to Houston to play the Rockets tomorrow night. College hoops: the Badgers now 21-6 after losing to Oregon in overtime Saturday. They host Washington 8 p.m. tomorrow night at the Kohl Center. Marquette is at home tomorrow night against Providence. The Golden Eagles have lost four of their last six games. And the Milwaukee Panthers losing to Robert Morris 72-59. Robert Morris in first place in the Horizon League. The Panthers dropped to fifth. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your Fox Valley forecast, good morning. I'm Corey Hartman. For today, partly sunny skies. It'll be windy out of the west. Highs near 45. Sprinkles or flurries tonight. 29. Mostly sunny and a high near 42 for Tuesday. Rain mixed with snow on Wednesday. Highs near 40 and 42 on Thursday. Currently 42 degrees.
The Todd Alba Show.
Elon Musk putting in so much money that it drowns out other people's voices to decide who our next Supreme Court justice is. Whether or not you're going to vote Republican or Democrat or Schimmel or Crawford, your voice is getting drowned out by Elon Musk, a guy who has no business in Wisconsin. And you don't think that Brad Schimmel is going to be in Elon Musk's pocket? It's going to affect us in Wisconsin.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Dom Salvia Show.
You know, Harvey, the seemingly purposeful no action. What's your sense on the leadership in the Dem Party right now, Harvey?
I'm ashamed of them. What did Trump have on all these people?
Yeah, right.
That we get this kind of silence. Will the Democratic leadership figure out that it's their task to start articulating a Democratic, small d, Democratic vision and project that these people can rally behind? Bam.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Jane Mattner and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will break down all of the most recent news and how it affects all of us here in Wisconsin. Plus, this shouldn't be a thing. Don't miss it.
Mattner on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Finally, a voice for real news and great conversation in the Fox Valley, WISS.
All right, welcome back to a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. And I want to thank Professor Bob Harvey all the way from, warm Charlotte, North Carolina, for gracing these airways in the first hour. But, man, you know, no better 1-2 punch. Then the follow-up, Professor Bob Harvey, with another giant in his own right, Mr. Reggie Jackson, who's an award-winning journalist and speaker, researcher, and writer with a deep, comprehensive knowledge of how our country's racial hierarchy developed historically and is, its impact on our lives today. Reggie has won so many different awards, too numerous for me to take the time out to talk about today, but welcome back, dear brother. How are you?
Thank you for having me back, Earl. I'm doing well. Thanks.
You know, phone lines open as always at 855-752-4842. You know, Reggie, want to do something a little bit different with you than what we did with Professor Harvey the first hour. The first hour, we went back historically and talking about different things that have transpired in the history of this nation. With you, I want to talk about today and where we are. You're a historian, very renowned in your own right, but where is this nation today, Reggie, on race, on actually the American people themselves? What do you see with where we are today?
Earl, I see America being where America has always been when it comes to race issues, particularly as it relates to black people. We haven't changed. You know, people, you know, convinced themselves when Barack Obama was elected that we were in a so-called post-racial America, that we had solved all of those issues. But we've never had an open, honest conversation about race in this country. And what we tried to over the last, 5 years after George Floyd was murdered, you see what happened, the backlash against that. Shows you that America has really not made the progress that people have been convinced that they were. And I tell people, listen, the election of Barack Obama was not, a sign that we had gotten over race. Because if you look at the exit poll results from 2008, Barack Obama received 42% of the white vote, Earl. That means 58% of white people that voted in 2008 did not want Barack Obama to be their president. And when he ran again in 2012 for reelection,
39.
that number went down to 39%. So that's 61% of white people did not want him to be their president. So how can you say that that's, you know, a sign of a post-racial America, because a black man was elected when a majority of white people, a huge majority of white people did not want him to be their president?
You know, Reggie, I always hear, you know, whites, many whites say to me, isn't it getting better? Isn't it getting better? And my response always is, I can't buy it's getting better, because it never should have been where it was in the first place. You know, so it can't ever be that it's getting better. The fact that what transpired in this nation and some of the things that continue to happen to people solely because of the color of their skins in this nation should be unacceptable. It's unacceptable anywhere in the world. It definitely should be unacceptable in America, which claims to be the beacon, you know, of light in the world.
Yeah, I completely agree, Earl. You know, one of my favorite quotes related to that is what Malcolm X said. He said, you can't stick a knife 9 inches into a man's back, pull it out 3 inches, and say you're making progress. That's not how it works. But that's literally what's going on. People, oh, you know, things have gotten so much better. Not like it used to be. Things always change. You know, the one constant in life is change. Everything changes, Earl. Nothing is like it used to be, because people are constantly evolving in terms of their thoughts and their views and the way they treat each other. But, you know, we just had an incident, a little over a week ago, where a young biracial woman went to get an oil change for her car. Something as simple as that. She received a call from that place where she got the oil change saying that, you know, one of the techs had left a tool in her vehicle and they wanted to come and pick it up. So she checked the vehicle. There was no tools left. And what she ends up finding out was that they were sending somebody there to remove a sticker from her window, because the tech that did the oil change, or someone there, wrote the N-word on her sticker. And they were trying to come and remove the sticker before she noticed it, but she saw it before they got there. And then, of course, they said, you know, the dealer is like, you know, well, we don't approve of that. You know, we think that's horrible. But that happened. That was a week and a half ago, Earl. That's a sign of the times. I tell people, like, listen, I'm not a pessimist or an optimist. I'm a pragmatist. I look at things from the evidence that you present to me right now. What does that tell me? And all of the signs, when it comes to race relations right now, tell me that we are in very bad shape as a country. So we have not made progress. We're backtracking, in fact.
So, Reggie, 2 years ago, affirmative action was wiped off the table. And it was wiped off the table because, 60-some-odd years, whites said that it was discriminatory against white people to have affirmative action, and that wasn't fair, that wasn't right. Never mind that 400 years of it was what brought about affirmative action, and yet 60 years, only 60 years of it, they wipe it out. Diversity, equity, and inclusion is, you know, is the one thing that Donald Trump and MAGA Republicans have attacked and clearly stated that our number one issue with this election is to do away with diversity, equity, and inclusion. So all universities, major corporations are being bullied into doing away with what, Reggie? Diversity? Isn't this nation diverse? I mean, I don't know. What is the definition of diversity, Reggie? I don't know. I'm not smart enough to know, but I'm sure you know.
It does take a genius to understand that the diversity, in terms of how we look at diversity in this country, look at the demographics of the nation, Earl. We are a very, very diverse. We have people from so many different spaces on this planet, you know, as our population. We're a very diverse nation. And, you know, the one thing with diversity, America has always been diverse, Earl. Since its beginnings, it was a diverse place. People from so many different places have you know, made this place their home. Some against their will, of course. But I always say that, you know, the problem with diversity is that America is never embrace that diversity, has never seen it as a strength. They've seen it as a weakness. And you know, this conversation in recent years about DE&I, you know, people talk about diversity, equity, inclusion as if they know something about it. But most people that are talking about it, that are criticizing it, don't really know anything about it, Earl. And I always say, you know, if you want to talk to me about diversity, equity, inclusion, you know, people want to debate me about it. I say, listen, I can't debate you if you don't know the subject matter. I'm not going to debate you if you don't know what you're talking about. I'm not going to waste my time doing that because, you know, this is the work that I've done for a number of years, doing diversity, equity, inclusion, training, workshops, things of that nature, facilitated dialogue with people from around the state of Wisconsin. And people have embraced the ability to sit down and talk to people that are different than themselves, Earl. That's from my experience. But I know at the same time, there are people that didn't want to be in those spaces. And from what I can tell your audience, Earl, the group that was generally missing from those sessions when I would travel around, particularly the facilitated dialogue sessions, where we have people talk about, you know, their differences and how they can come together and, you know, find some common ground. The people that were generally missing from those sessions were almost always the same demographic, white men. They just didn't show up, Earl. Very few of them would show up. White men have been told that they are victims, that they are the victims of reverse discrimination, that affirmative action was designed to hurt white men, ignoring the fact that white women were the greatest beneficiaries of affirmative action, or ignoring the fact that affirmative action was only needed because of stuff that had been done in the past. It was a reparative tool, Earl. That's what affirmative action was. And DE&I initiatives are designed to look at, you know, spaces that people occupy and ask, you know, is this space really expressed in the same way that America is? Does it look like America? Because if it doesn't, then there's something wrong.
So, Reggie, let me ask you, because the attack on DEI has not only been aggressive, it's been angry, it's been hostile. It's like there's a war. And when you hear Donald Trump and others, this is a war and we're shutting down DEI and that's over. We're going to bring it to an end. I mean, what? I mean, why with all the other things going on in this nation? The fact that they've singled that out, Reggie, some of us know what's behind that, right?
Yeah, yeah. Here's my opinion on that, Earl. After George Floyd was murdered in Minneapolis, you know, there were widespread protests all around the country, even all around the world. And one of the things that I noticed was that white people started to become interested in hearing the stories of people of color more after that, right? They wanted to hear about the Black experience, learn about it. And they bought books, they listened to podcasts, they attended events, all these different things. And I think that that scared some white people in the country because now, you know, your cousin Bob, you know, who has always been in lockstep with you about racial issues now has a different opinion. He has the exact opposite opinion. He feels that racism is bad. And so now you're having a conversation you've never had before. And I think that that fear of white people crossing over the line and having interest in these, you know, these marginalized groups that they never had before really brought a lot of fear into the hearts and minds of a lot of people. And I think that's the crux of what this argument is about.
And, you know, Reggie, many of those who felt that way have interaction with Black people probably on a daily basis. And many inside of this society don't have interaction with Blacks at all on a daily basis. And that's part of the root of it. 855-752-4842. Our phone lines are open as always. My guest is none other than Mr. Reggie Jackson, award-winning journalist, author, speaker, researcher, on and on and on a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With limited incomes not keeping up with the lingering effects of inflation, You might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.kwwf.org.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Wisconsin's next major election is already here. The race for state Supreme Court is ramping up with just a few weeks to go before the April 1st general election. Much like the race 2 years ago, this will determine the balance of power on the court. If Susan Crawford wins, the court remains in liberal control. If Brad Schimmel wins, the court flips back to a right-wing majority. But there are a number of differing dynamics from the race in 2023. That race, won by Janet Protasiewicz, was the culmination of a years-long effort for liberals to win control of the court. Now they're playing defense to keep that majority. This also begins a run of 6 years in a row with a race for Wisconsin Supreme Court on the spring election ballot. Because of which justices will be up in coming years, if Crawford wins this year, the court will likely remain in liberal control until at least 2028. Find more bigger picture analysis of the race in my latest column at the Recombobulation Area.
A new choice. The Fox Valley's real news and great conversation. WISS.
To the Earl Ingram Show, Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. My good friend, Mr. Reggie Jackson, is on the docket, journalist, award-winning journalist, speaker, researcher, author, on and on and on. I'll just go to the phone lines. Brendan from New Jersey. Brendan, thank you. You say what?
Yeah, good morning. I just wanted to share, you know, a thought that it just saddens me when I hear this conversation, because we're supposed to be better than this as a country, as people. And as somebody who lives in New Jersey, who occasionally drives up to New York and sees that Statue of Liberty in the harbor, I just wonder where people have gone away from this country being a melting pot. And as far as everything else that's going on, well, I mean, it's a cult of personality that's sitting in the White House now. He purposely used people's prejudice, their hatred, their fear. Every tool he could put on the table, he did. And I'm sorry, as somebody who is, I was born in Ireland, adopted, brought over here, but I am white. I'm a white male. And it's just sad to see what's going on in our country. I mean, I try to go out and I try to always be friendly to people, everyone. And I think we've just forgotten that. But I have to, in my heart, hold on to the hope that this country will get back on track. I'm not saying all our problems will be fixed, But every day when I get up, I have to have it in my heart that this country will get back to where it belongs.
Brendan, thank you very much for the call. You know, Reggie, we need to have conversations with people like Brendan, right?
Absolutely. Thanks for those comments, Brendan. Can I just respond real quick?
Go ahead, Reggie.
You know what? Listen, hope is not enough. We can't just hope because, you know, the signs are staring us in the face that we're in the wrong place, Brendan. You know, obviously, you know, when people talk about the melting pot, I always respond in the same way. Not everybody was allowed into that melting pot. We weren't. We as African-American people were not allowed to be part of that melting pot. We didn't come over to the Statue of Liberty. We were dragged over in chains on slaving ships. And so our experience here has not been a representation of this so-called melting pot of America.
All right, let's go to CJ. CJ, you're up.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call, Earl and Dr. Harvey.
This is not Dr. Harvey. This is Reggie Jackson. Is not Professor Harvey.
Oh, okay. We switched. Well, thank you, Reggie and Earl. I'm wondering why the Democrats for 40 years have voted for Democrats. The black community in record number did not this time. Black men voted for Trump.
Black men did not vote for Trump.
No, they did not.
They did not vote for Trump.
A small percentage of them did. Check your math. Check your math.
A record percentage.
What is that percentage? What is that percentage? What is that percentage, CJ?
21%.
Absolutely not.
And, you know,
it wasn't that much. And even if it was, that means 79% did not. Do the math, man.
You guys don't want to hear a question.
No, we don't want to hear fiction.
Talk over me.
Hey, CJ. No, we don't want to hear fiction. We're talking truth. Okay, so whatever you feel and whatever you think doesn't make it the truth. So go ahead.
Well, let's just say that you laughed at me the first time I said that black men are going to turn to, and they did. And they turn conservative, they believe in it.
Well, okay, comic, Reggie, you want to first off, bring him down. Reggie, did black men turn to Donald Trump and conservatism?
No, they did not. A small percentage of black men voted for Donald Trump. I mean, just check the math. Even if let's just assume that his numbers were correct. It's 21%, which it wasn't even close to 21%, did vote for Donald Trump. That means 79%. Voted for Kamala Harris. So how is that a turn towards conservatism when, according to his data that he's using, which I don't know where he got it from, shows clearly that nearly 80% of black men voted for Kamala Harris, not Donald Trump.
All right,
black
CJ,
men did not turn.
CJ, respond to what he just said.
Well, the mere fact that the Democrats continue.
Hey, CJ, this is not the Democrats. Hey, CJ, respond to the statement you made in the beginning. Blacks voted for Donald Trump when he just told you 80% of blacks did not. You totally dismissed it.
You know why? Because they watched Kamala turn to illegals.
It's Kamala, not Kamala.
Illegals.
Hey, CJ. Hey, CJ. Again, you're CJ.
Explain about it.
Hey, bring him down. Hey, CJ, you're talking to two black men, okay? As if you're speaking for black men. He just told you 80% of blacks did not vote for Donald Trump. You know, what part of that don't you understand? 855-752-4842 is the number. It's part of the reason why, Reggie, it's so hard to have the conversations because a guy like the last caller is so locked into ignorance that he doesn't want to see, you know, any change. 855-752-4842 is the number. It's Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. My guest is one and only Reggie Jackson. We'll be right back.
listening to Oshkosh Air Support WISS, the Valley's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. Pet owners in the greater Green Bay area will now have to travel to Appleton for 24-hour emergency vet care. Blue Pearl Veterinary Hospital in Bellevue closed Friday, making Blue Pearl Fox Valley in Appleton the closest emergency vet in the area. Northeast Wisconsin has been in a veterinarian shortage since the pandemic, with pet owners facing long wait times and even higher prices. Do you have a written budget for your finances? Civic Media's Joanne Krulatz tells us why you should.
People are budgeting more than ever, and nearly 9 in 10 think everyone should budget, according to Debt.com. Budgeting is a practical way to stay in charge of your money. Having a budget means knowing exactly how much is coming and going out each month and planning where and when to spend. Plus, budgeting is essential if you want to pay off debt. Here's some tips in a handy way as you embark on your journey to financial wellness. The first step is to calculate your monthly net income after taxes and deductions so you know how much you bring home. If you have several sources of income, you may need to check your bank accounts and pay stubs or consult your accountant on this step. Track your spending, whether you prefer an app on your phone, computer software, or simply a notebook to jot down your expenses. Keeping track of your spending is critical. It helps you see where you spend your money rather than where you think you are. Categorize your spending. Set up a spending budget. Choose a budgeting system. Pay bills on time. Automatic payments can be scheduled beforehand and help avoid late fees and penalties for missed payments. Contribute to your retirement. Save for the big things. And build an emergency fund. For more information or further inquiries, contact the Wisconsin Better Business Bureau.
I'm Lisa Hale for 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. More odd yet not surprising news from the Kanye West camp. The New York Post reports that those close to Kanye say he is inhaling nitrous oxide, or laughing gas. Love that stuff. The Post reports that the drug was a major issue between West and recently estranged wife Bianca Censori. According to the Post, West reps are blaming his dentist, Thomas Connolly, for getting him hooked on nitrous again because it messes up his memory, adding that Connolly wants to steal millions of dollars from the rapper. How much cash does Kanye carry on him when he goes to the dentist? Yeah, I'm talking to you. One of the most famous scenes from the film Taxi Driver was Robert De Niro's character, Travis Bickle, asking that very question. De Niro recently appeared on Live with Mark and Kelly and said the whole scene was improvised. Bobby Dee was nominated for an Oscar for the role. Plans for a sequel to Taxi Driver were ultimately scrapped in 2013 because Martin Scorsese was unhappy with the script. Apparently, there were not enough ad-libs in the world to save it. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With your Fox Valley forecast, good morning. I'm Corey Hartman. For today, partly sunny skies. It'll be windy out of the west. Highs near 45. Sprinkles or flurries tonight, 29. Mostly sunny and a high near 42 for Tuesday. Rain mixed with snow on Wednesday. Highs near 40 and 42 on Thursday.
Currently 42 degrees.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM Oshkosh Air Support.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
What celebrity would you like to hug? It's International Hug Day. I wouldn't say Josh Brolin is like my favorite actor, but he's got like a quiet macho-ness to him. Actor Glenn Morshower joins us now.
My self-esteem was jolted when you did not mention me as your hugging preference.
I didn't want to rush it. I just want to see how. Let's just dip our toes in the water here and see what kind of relationship develops, shall we?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome RogerEbert.com film critic Mariah Gates for some Oscar talk, and entrepreneur Chad Franker joins the show to talk about a new program to combat loneliness.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. Text us at that same number. My guess is the one and only Reggie Jackson. Again, you know, Reggie, I'm going to go right back to the phone lines. Let's bring in Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. How you doing, sir?
I'm enjoying a wonderful Motown Monday. Can I make a Motown request?
Yes, sir.
Rare Earth.
Oh, Rare Earth.
It is a Motown-supported band.
Yeah, I know, man. I know. Get ready. So, you're talking about get ready.
There you go. And,
all right.
And celebrate and a few others, too. But,
okay.
Yeah. Hey, you know, lies, and more lies are... You know, I don't care if it's Benghazi, the Russian hoax, the locker up, the stolen election. They are still being echoed yet today by right-wing influencers on right-wing media. I heard it over the weekend. I heard it last week before. And, you know, Brandon posed an interesting point in his call earlier. You know, we all have a sense of right and wrong. You know, we all have that compass, that moral compass inside us. But yet, for some reason, these right wingers, they're ignoring their own common sense, their own, you know, they're choosing to be ignorant, in my opinion. I know that's kind of a harsh thing to say, but, you know, what we're seeing in this takeover, this tyranny, For anybody to say that this is fair and this is how people should be treated by, you know, other human beings, you know, they neglect to recognize, you know, the Sermon of the Mount, which is the teachings of Christ. They totally ignore all this. They totally ignore equal application of the laws. My question that I'd love to pose on CJ and Mark and a few of the other right wingers. Are we no longer a nation of laws in where we now cower to the power of one man? Is that how in any way is that symbolic of the United States of America? As we know?
Well, you know,
it just doesn't go ahead.
Well, you know, Mike, I don't want to get us off. The mark, and the mark is we're talking about race in this nation. And so I do agree with you. I mean, we know what Donald Trump is doing. A lot of us, as people of color, we see what Donald Trump is doing as, you know, certainly at the root of it is racism, doing away with DEI, the firing of the four-star general, for no reason other than the fact that Donald Trump believed he's a DEI hire, and the fact that across the board, Donald Trump and many other Republicans clearly want to see these things wiped out. You know, yes, I agree that, you know, who and what Donald Trump is, but Reggie, is it bigger than one man? Is it bigger than the Republicans?
Absolutely, Earl. You know, these are just symptoms of the disease that America has and has had, you know, since its beginnings. Its basic foundation was based on racism. Listen, all we have to do is just open an American history book and look at how Native Americans were treated by the English when they first arrived on these shores. Look at how people from Africa were dragged here in chains to understand that those mindsets have not changed all that much. You know, we like to tell a story that's mythological. you know, this mythological story of America is, you know, the land of the free and the home of the brave and liberty and justice for all. But I tell people, listen, that doesn't work with me because I know I have factual information about the fact that my family was enslaved in this country. I even know the name of the people and their history of the people who enslaved my family. So you can't sell that story to me. But most Americans have been fed that story and believe it and don't understand that today is directly connected to yesterday because those mindsets have not changed. You know, I tell people that you can change laws, but you can't legislate morality. And as far as, you know, morals, the same people that brought us over in chains claim to be Christians, Earl. They claim to be Christians. And so, you know, this idea of Christianity somehow absolving you of wrongdoing, it just doesn't work.
Hey, Mike, thank you for the call. Let's go to Bill from Oconomowoc. Good morning to you, Bill. You say what?
I want to hear your reaction to my statement. I really think Donald Trump is going to be easy to deal with. And here's what I mean. I think it's really easy. We should get a lot of Ukraine flags, Ukraine colors.
Hey, Bill.
Bill. Yes, sir?
Hey, Bill. I don't mean any disrespect, but the same thing. You know, we're talking about an issue in this nation, racism, that impacts and affects, continues to be at the root of many things that happen in this country. And so I don't want to, you know, there's a time that we'll talk about Donald Trump and those things.
Okay, well, can I make a comment on racism? I'll run with that.
Yes, sir.
Look at how we joined ranks in the 60s to march against racism. Look how we did it. Look how we walked, and I shouldn't say we. I was part, you know, I was involved, but not that great. But look how they marched in the heart of Mississippi, Alabama. They went into the heart of the beast, and they marched, and they won. Why did they win? Because the numbers, they just kept coming.
So, Bill, let me ask you, do you think that what happened during that time, do you see any correlation today? Do you think that today we've come so far that racism is not an issue, not a problem in our nation anymore?
No, you remember Bull Connors?
Absolutely.
You know what I'm talking about?
Absolutely.
Okay. We've got another Bull Connors in the White House. Well, we know how we dealt with the last Bull Connors. This is how we're going to deal with this Bull Connors.
Hey,
you
Bill,
know what I mean? Yeah. Same thing.
Hey, Bill, thank you very much for the call. Reggie, you want to respond to Bill?
Well, you know, I think that Bill has to understand. I'm from Mississippi. I was born in Mississippi. I was born in a town where we had separate swimming pools for black and white kids. Many years after the civil rights movement ended, the swimming pools there were still segregated. And, you know, we talk about how we came together. We didn't come together. White people decided to join force. A small segment of the white community decided to come to Mississippi and join forces with the black people who have been fighting for equality for, you know, their entire lives. That was not a reflection of how most white Mississippians felt. They were beating the hell out of black and white people in Mississippi. They were killing black and white people in Mississippi. So it wasn't this, you know, kumbaya moment where everybody came together, as people like to try to pretend the civil rights movement was this kumbaya moment where we all came together. No, that's not what happened in reality. Some white people crossed ranks and joined forces with black people, but most of them didn't. And if you look at the Mississippi of today, and the politics in Mississippi today is not much different than it was in 1965 when I was born. It's not, you know, the reality. The reality is that things haven't changed all that much, even though we like to believe that as a country because it makes us look better. But the reality is, come on, man, you cannot talk to black men and tell us that things are so much better. Or that, you know, if we want to fix things, we got to do what we did in the 1960s. This isn't the 1960s anymore.
You know, Reggie, if you look at the economic reality of blacks in America today, contrast that with whites, it's almost as horrible as it was back in the 1950s and 60s. And people may not want to believe that, but if they look it up, they'll find out it's a fact. You know, and
yeah,
so...
Yeah, you know, one of the... Yeah, you're right, Earl.
No, go ahead,
one of the things that Dr. King was working on at the end of his life was looking at, you know, economic inequality in America and addressing that, you know, with this Poor People's Campaign before he was assassinated. That was the main issue he wanted to focus on. And if we look at the data, it's clear that, you know, in many respects, Black people are worse off now than they were back in the late 1960s. For instance, here in Milwaukee, if you take a look at, you know, reports by the UW-Milwaukee Center for Economic Development, it shows clearly that Black people are very far behind white people in economics. Here in Milwaukee, we're worse than every other major city in the country. By all those measures, I really advise people to look at those reports of African-American well-being, and you can see very clearly that we have a long way to go and that that issue was not solved by the Civil Rights Movement.
All right, let's go. Khaled, you're up next.
I got three aspects of a question. I don't know which one you can deal with this amount of time, but in the old days, they used to refer to African-American boys at the time as a bald eagle, the dying breed. I like your opinion on that, if you have one. And the second one would be, you know, Curtis Mayfield came out with a song in the earlier days, Mighty, Mighty Spade and Whitey. You speak of the crumbling towers. Do you think that these crumbling towers are crumbling today as was in the past? And my third aspect was the, as referred in the Lamont Kendricks thing in the NFL when he inferred about the Squid Game that's being applied today on America, which is also includes, I think, middle class poor whites. So I don't know which one you can comment on.
Okay, so, let's give him a shot, Brother Khaled. Thank you very much, Mr. Khaled. Reggie.
Yeah, thank you, Kyle. Appreciate that. Listen, as far as economics, one of the things that Americans just are so misinformed about or uninformed about completely is that all of us as Americans have suffered greatly economically based on where we were 50 years ago. All Americans are making less money than they were making 50 years ago. That trend has been consistent over a number of years. Regardless of who was in the White House, it didn't make a difference. Right. Those trends. And part of it is the fact that, you know, America decided to attack unions and destroy unions. Union jobs were the jobs that created the prevailing wage in communities. So if you were working at a non-union shop, you had to, you know, as the owner of that non-union shop, you had to bring your wages up to match the union wages in order to get employees. And so because we've destroyed unions, we have Americans making less money than they made before. I just did a talk the other day with some school children. I showed them that in Milwaukee in 1970, for instance, Earl, you know this very well. Black people in Milwaukee in 1970 had the seventh highest median family income in the country for Black people. We made the equivalent of what would be about $50,000 in today's money in 1970. But the median family income for a Black family in Milwaukee today is about $31,000. So that's that. We moved backwards.
You know, Reggie, and you made that money without even a high school diploma. Mm-hmm. You were able to live a middle-class lifestyle, you know, and live the American dream, right? Mm-hmm. That's 1970. I know that's my life. That's the story right. of my life. And I always try to tell people, it's not myself alone. That's the story of the lives of many people who live in rural America because they had the paper mills, they had industry in their towns as well. And all of that left. And it was both Democrats and Republicans both who ushered that in, right? And so mm-hmm. it was not either Democrat or Republican. They both agreed to that. And everybody's been trying to play catch up ever since. Only we hear about rural America suffering and those kind of things. We don't hear about Black suffering in the cities. 855-752-4842. Reggie Jackson's my guest on the Earl Ingram Show.
From Oshkosh to Neenah, this is 98.3 WISS.
You want to feel important. You want to be a part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things. You want to feel like you belong. We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it. We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers. We are normal people just like you. And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Mississippi has one of the country's worst records for protecting voting rights and advancing democracy reforms. So when pro-voter bills emerge from the state House and Senate, like in-person early voting and the ability to cure a mismatched absentee signature, democracy advocates take notice. Mississippi is one of only three states without some form of in-person early voting, along with Alabama and New Hampshire. The Mississippi Free Press reports that February 12th, the Mississippi Senate passed SB 2654, allowing 15 days of early voting, ending the Saturday before the election at noon. The Republican-sponsored bill passed 39-12, but even if the House advances, it may still be vetoed by Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves, who accused the bill's sponsor of making the state's elections less secure. The Mississippi House also took some positive steps. HB 1419 prohibits moving or closing a polling place location within 60 days of an election, sometimes used as a voter suppression tactic. HB 163 sets rules for absentee ballots where the signature on file doesn't match the signed outer ballot envelope and would give the voter a chance to cure the problem. And HB 288 would make each county's five election commissioners nonpartisan positions. All three bills now move to the Senate. We have more on these bills and local reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for the Maggie Dawn Show.
All right, welcome back to the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. You know, I'm so happy to have this opportunity, you know, not just because it's Black History Month of Civic Media. I want to thank the owners of Civic Media that allow this kind of dialogue and conversation over these airwaves that doesn't happen anywhere else. You know, I think in this nation, open and frank dialogue, that is what is needed. You know, Reggie, I would say this before we go back to the phone lines. We've got this divide between rural white America and urban Black America. And as you stated earlier, we've all been, the same thing has happened to both of us. We've been taken advantage of by a greedy corporate greed that has expanded and taken away opportunities for the American people. This has happened, and instead of us joining forces together, you know, there's been this divide that has been orchestrated. And, you know, certainly has not benefited poor people who live in urban centers or poor people who live in rural places. You say what?
You know, Earl, you know, part of the challenge is that we have to get people to understand very clearly that we're all in this together. In terms of Americans, American workers have become much more productive over the course of time, but our wages have not reflected that. And that's been something that's been ongoing for generations, actually. If you go back to, you know, a period of time that most Americans forget about, Earl, is the recessions of the early 1980s. 1980, yes. There was a recession, but a much bigger and more deadly recession in 1981 through 82. That recession in 1981 through 82 was the largest recession since the Great Depression. And it did a tremendous amount of damage to American workers across the board, regardless of whether you were Black, white, Hispanic. Everybody was impacted negatively. We've never fully recovered from that recession in many respects, because that was the beginning of the loss of a lot of American jobs. Manufacturing jobs started to disappear in large measure during that recession. You know, millions of people lost their jobs, were out of work. And as people came back to work, they started to see that their wages would not be increasing regularly as they had been accustomed to. And we've been seeing this, you know, this deflation in terms of wages that Americans make. We're making less money just for inflation than we made 50 years ago across the board.
Well, Reggie, and you are absolutely correct, because at the root of it was the destruction of private unions, right? They did away with private unions, which made sure that we were able to live those middle-class lifestyles. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Tom, good morning. You say what?
Good morning. As a gay white male, I know my white privilege. And this is my message to all of the white straight males and even straight white females out there. You know what? When you have, this is the way I understood diversity, equity, and inclusion. It meant that I was safe in the workplace. It meant that people couldn't just go along and say either jokes about Black people, jokes about gay people, jokes about whoever, women. That was the whole point, I thought, of diversity, equity, and inclusion. And myself, as a very competent, smart person, I want to work for a company that actually has diversity, equity, and inclusion, because I can guarantee you, I will wipe the floor with any white straight man in terms of work ethic and everything else that goes along with it. So to me, diversity, equity, and inclusion means that we want a diverse workforce. And you know what? The more diversity there is, the better the country is. The more differences of opinion are, the better the country is, and the better that the middle class does, because you're not just dealing with white oligarchs or head of white of corporations. That's the good old boy network that doesn't give a crap about its employees. Same thing when I was working for a company here in California.
Hey Tom.
And it finally came up.
Tom, I'm sorry, man. We've reached the end. Sorry I couldn't let you finish up, but we're out of time. Hey, Reggie, man, thank you. You know, I'm calling on you again.
Yeah, absolutely, Earl.
You know, man, this is this is the only way we can address what is happening in this nation is frank dialogue, right? Open and frank dialogue. And thank you for always presenting that from the perspective of a man who clearly knows what he's talking about, who's done the study, and who's been to the different places and had those kind of relationships. Thank you. We'll talk again soon. Thank everybody who made this show go. As always, I couldn't do it without you, Cardi, man. Thank you. Thank you to the listening audience. No better listening audience than the one I have. I believe that in my heart. Up next, Jane Madnair, Greg Bach, Madnair on Air. Hey, enjoy 50 Degrees. See you guys on tomorrow.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home of Mino and the Mayor.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we'll look back at the weekend headlines with our friend and contributor, Matt Flynn, an attorney and two-time chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Don't miss it.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Hey, it's Amanda with another new ISCO 411 for you. And guess what? You're probably recycling wrong. I mean it. You probably are putting the wrong stuff in. But before you panic, don't worry. You can take the proper steps to become a master recycler. On Tuesday, February 25th from 5:30 till 6:30 p.m., you can go to the Tri-County Recycle Right Masterclass at the Colin Center in Oshkosh. It's free, and they're going to help give you the tools you need to teach your family, neighbors, friends, coworkers, heck, a stranger on the road, how to recycle right to save our planet.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is WISS Berlin Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. A group of federal workers have filed a lawsuit in federal court in California, according to the Associated Press. They say that Elon Musk's weekend email instructing all federal employees to reply with a list of their accomplishments violates the law. ABC's Karen Travers has more on what's followed.
There are mixed messages then coming from the heads of agencies like the FBI, the Department, the Director of National Intelligence, the State Department, and the Pentagon, who are advising employees there to hold off right now on replying to this email. They're essentially saying, let's put this on pause. So a lot of questions here over who has the ultimate authority. Is it Elon Musk or is it agency heads?
President Trump meets with French President Macron today. The Ukraine war will be a major topic. Today marks 3 years since Russia's invasion. The world waits for another update on Pope Francis, the 88-year-old still hospitalized in critical condition. And Apple says it's investing $500 billion in U.S. investments. This is ABC News.